Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Former New York Governor Eliot Spitzer took to the airwaves yesterday to announce his long-speculated attempt to return to public office as a contender for controller of the city of New York. Considered a rising star among New York's progressive Democrats, Spitzer resigned in disgrace in 2007 after he was revealed as client number 9 in an interstate prostitution ring under investigation by federal authorities. Another governor embroiled in a sex scandal, former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford, lied about visiting his mistress in Argentina. He said he was going on the Appalachian Trail. He took a wrong turn. He ended up in Argentina. And he completed his political revival. He won election to Congress in May. A little closer to home, we have former New York Congressman Anthony Weiner, who tweeted photos of his crotch and lied about it, and he's leading in some polls in the race for mayor of New York. Well, go figure. Now, these are, of course, only a few of the latest bad examples of good examples of bad behavior by politicians. Even presidents have been put to task for infidelities, largely with little effect on their political careers. So today, we want to know how you feel about the ability of these politicians to get back into the game and why we seem so prepared to forgive them, or if not to forgive and forget, just to forgive. Give us a call at 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on our Vox Pop section of the website. You go to wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/WAMC Radio, or you can tweet your comments and questions at WAMC Vox Pop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. I'm tired now from reading that, so let's go over to our friend Patrick Donges, who joins me here today. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
So it's revival and renaissance, and
yes,
what do you make of all
political
this?
Political rebirth of specifically Eliot Spitzer this week. And
yeah.
I mean, people were talking about it for a long time. Is he going to get back in the game? He had an interview with our Alan Shartok over here at the Linda not too long ago, and you know, as Jimmy Vielkind said earlier this morning on the roundtable, the line that got him was, he said, you know, anybody who's been in that position of power knows how rewarding it is and how good it can be.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the power. People gravitate towards it, and I think it becomes a matter of whether or not people use their power to a degree for good or evil, or a mix of both, if you want. And it seems like the public is largely willing to forgive those elected officials who, through their official capacity in some cases, end up on these lists or sending these tweets.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. 1-800-348-2551. Would you be prepared to forgive and forget some of these politicians and some of their foibles? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. You know, it seems to me that there's a difference, though, a qualitative difference,
yep,
between, say, Governor Sanford, who, you know, yes, outside of wedlock, fell in love and lost his mind, perhaps, as sometimes love will do, and was foolish and lied and disappeared when everyone was counting on him. Criminal? I don't know. However, you got the governor of New York in 2007 who engaged in something he fought hard to stop,
right,
when he was attorney general. So do you think there's a qualitative difference there?
Well, yes, but the two, one of the big differences, too, is the fact that, you know, Spitzer, when he was found out, I mean, it was immediate, and that he came out immediately and said, I've done wrong and I'm stepping down. Now, he could have fought tooth and nail.
You're right.
And he would have had the backing probably to stay in office. But I think he knew he had lost the mandate of the people and that trust. Sanford, on the other hand, and Mr. Weiner, too, you know, once you start down the rabbit hole of lying about these things that you have done, you know you've done, that just opens up a whole nother can of worms as to how could people ever trust you again if you're going to lie about it. So, you know, that's one of the things that I'm sure people are looking at in this New York City mayoral race.
And I know Spitzer, when he was a TV pundit, he made that exact comment about Weiner, saying, you know,
right,
really, the real difference between what happened, one of the big differences was I said immediately, I said, this can't go on. I've been a bonehead. I'm out of here. Weiner did not. Sanford did not as well. And so, yeah, I think you make a valid point. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Let's go over to Alex in Catskill. Alex, you're on.
Yeah, hi.
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 I'd like to make the comment that it seems there's so many crooked politicians these days that it's very commonplace. I've recently read a poll that parents don't want their children to be politicians anymore. I don't know. I can't tell you where exactly that was, but that's kind of disturbing, you know, because it's seen as a crooked profession now. And as to Spitzer, and I love Spitzer. I think he's great. I loved him when he was governor. I don't like Cuomo. I don't trust Cuomo because he's never had anything wrong with him. He's been the comptroller. He investigated people. So,
okay.
You know, that's...
You know, that's
Alex,
my point.
Alex, that's a shame if that's true, that poll that, you know, people aren't encouraging their children to run for office anymore, because that means we're in dire straits for the next, 20 to 25 years.
Or we'll get more of the same.
Well, yeah, which we're in dire straits for the next 20 to 25 years.
I don't know about
years.
You, but my parents never once said, hey, son, we want you to go into politics.
Did you ever run for, like, a class office or anything?
No.
No?
No, I never did. I don't know. I'm not really a people person.
No, you are.
It's funny,
you
isn't
are.
It? 1-800, let's find out. 1-800-348-2551. We go to Don in Great Barrington. Don, you're on.
Hey, Ray. Thank you very much. It occurs to me that politics has become like a popularity contest, and when a man or woman gets in, they say, thank you very much.
Hey, Don. Yes, just a sec. Can you turn that radio down just a jot? We're hearing a replay.
Oh. Sorry about that. Holy cow.
That's
Is
good.
That better?
Yeah, that's much better.
Wow. You've got good ears.
All right, you go on. You start again then.
Yeah. When a politician gets in, he thanks everybody for giving him the honor and voting for him or her. And people actually think that we did this guy a favor, and he's really a sweet guy. But, you know, we don't want the sweetheart, the likable, popular fella in there that everybody loves. We want a man or a woman that can get the job done. And I remember in the service, the man or woman who got promoted is the person who could be an SOB and had the chops to step in there and walk on whatever situation or people he had to get the job done. And that's the kind of politicians we want in there. And if the wonderful Mr. Spitzer or any of these other fellows can do the job better than somebody else, I say more power to them.
All right, Don. Patrick, you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I think that certainly that's one of the traits that people look for when they're voting in the voting booth. But, you know, you got to think about the methods that people are going to use to get the job done, too, and whether or not they are strictly ethical or strictly legal. I mean, we've got a... You know, projects that have gone on in New York State and other states that the funding to which or the the way that they got done might not exactly have been above board. So,
all right, Don, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. And I think you made a great point earlier. You know, it's sometimes the lie that makes it worse.
I mean,
you know, I'm not a public opinion pollster, but when the whole Clinton Lewinsky thing went down, I was always of the mind that, you know, if he had just said immediately, did it, wife's not happy,
right,
I'm going to be in trouble, everyone moves on. It was the deception, I think, that got everyone more upset.
And not even, for the president, I feel like even more so, the public is willing to give a little leeway on past offenses, at least. And if something was to come up when they were in office, you know, there's going to be a period of anger, but presidents have done a lot of things before they were president, and they seem to get elected just fine. You know, the last few certainly have had their bumps along the road. So
yeah, that's true. Craig in Boston Spa. Craig, you're on.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, Elliot Spitzer, great fellow. Too bad. This comment of mine is about good intentions that go wrong.
Mm.
I remember when I was younger, way back in high school, you know, we always have our girlfriends, and as a very religious young fellow, we only held hands. We made sure that the concept of a holy matrimony was a very important thing. The priest always told us that.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, as we were athletic and everything, you were always worried about jock itch. And so you were always trading, getting rid of your jock or regularly so you would never get jock itch.
And
you confess to the priest regularly, you're only holding hands, but sometimes you might have odd feelings for the girl you're with. Finally, though, in your senior year, you really get some awful, you know, and then what? Jock itch. This is only to explain, you know, and then the priest would say, you know, you must do 20 Hail Marys July 4th, the hottest day of the year. Well, at any rate, the idea was then don't hold hands.
That's a good point.
Okay.
That's a great way to take a break. I guess that's probably advice for all of us. Let's take a break here, Zach. 1-800-348-2551. I'll try to parse what the heck just happened, and we'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Subsidium Technologies, working to help enterprises use custom communications and cloud services to help improve information technology environments. SubsidiumTech.com. Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more. ParadiseCopies.com. Smith College Museum of Art, presenting second Friday, July 12th, from 4 to 8 p.m., art and activities for children and adults, featuring Summer of Love, psychedelic posters from SCMA, smith.edu/artmuseum. Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock, New York. Local, seasonal, organic produce, vegetarian and vegan hot dogs and burgers, natural skincare, sunscreen and bug spray, sunflowernatural.com. And Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY eyewear.net.
+1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Forgive, forget, forget about it. Well, we want to know what you have to say about politicians who are attempting to rebound from serious scandals. Patrick Don just joining me and you. And you had something else you wanted to say before we went back to the phones?
We have a comment on Facebook. It's facebook.com/WAMC radio. Maude checked in and said, while Wiener and Sanford made poor judgment decisions considering they were in office, Spitzer did something illegal and hypocritical. Perhaps if he hadn't been legally going after the same group of people he was paying for services, forgiveness may have been, but not in this case. I hope he never gets elected. And I have been hearing, and that's all I've been hearing except for your opening remark, and said thanks, Ray, to pointing out that was an illegal thing that he was caught doing. That's how he got caught.
Well, we're here to serve. Let's go back to the phones. Joanne and Beckett. Joanne, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I know what they did was wrong, and in some cases illegal, but every human being makes some kind of transgression somewhere or sometime. And I think if they were good politicians and did well in office, I agree that they should have a second chance with their politics, not with their indiscretions. But, I know Mr. Spitzer, it was illegal what he did, but, he seems like really a good person for the state of New York, even though I don't live in New York. But, so basically, that's my comment.
So you would vote for Mr. Spitzer if you were in New York City and had a chance to vote?
Yeah, I think I really think I would, because I listened to him talk. I listened, to different programs with him, and I know what he did was wrong. But everybody, I don't know anybody who hasn't done something in their lifetime that they regret or was, they're human beings. They, they put their pants on the same way we do. It's just that they're more...
But they leave their socks on, obviously.
Yeah. They have a little bit more notoriety than we do.
Joanne, that's kind of a slippery slope, though, because, if we consider... these people to be, the professional lawmakers, let's say, if you found out that your doctor was abusive to their loved ones or something, would that change your mind about going to your doctor?
That's a great question.
To me, abuse is totally different.
Okay.
I certainly would not agree with that. If anybody was abusing somebody, I would not agree with it. Mr. Wiener there, he really just showed a picture of something he shouldn't have showed of. I guess he did the less of,
right.
He was the less of those three evils.
Certainly guilty of bad judgment. We can say that,
Oh, and bad judgment. But I've been guilty of bad judgment. I'm sure you have at some time or another in your lifetime. No. Well, then you're perfect.
Exactly.
I want to meet you sometime.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, though, it gets back to Patrick's question. Is that not, you know, being guilty of bad judgment or being guilty of, in fact, doing something against the law while you're in office? Isn't that indicative of a character flaw that you have to then decide, well, do I want this person in any position of power?
No, I see where you're coming from. I guess just the things that I've read on him as a politician, you know, and I know there's character flaws, but again, we all have some flaw of one way or another. You know, you put some good things out there that I would have to think about, but, you know, for the most part, I think I would probably vote for him.
Well, great call. Joanne, you're terrific. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks, Joanne.
1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Okay, let's go to Abigail in Woodstock. Hiya, Abigail.
Oh, hi. I'm calling just because, yeah, we've all done things we're ashamed of, but these guys are politicians in public office. And what they've done, for me, puts them in the category of bozo. Mm. And you can forgive them. Sure, I'll forgive them, but I'm not voting for a bozo.
Although that's sometimes that's much all that's available on the slate, you know.
Well, that's then you vote for Mickey Mouse. I don't know. There must be some other.
That's a good point.
Some other or well, my dog.
Well, that, Abigail, great
really
point.
That's really it.
I appreciate it very much. Have a good one.
Thanks, Abigail.
1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. Patrick Don just joining me in his waning days here at WAMC.
That's correct.
Are you getting wistful?
I did get a little wistful.
Did you?
Today, yeah, and you know, I packed up my desk over the weekend, so all my Star Wars memorabilia.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it's all Yoda's, no longer Darth Vader, and
all the bobbleheads.
All the
bobbleheads.
I'm taking Alan with me, though, the Alan bobblehead.
You have to.
Yeah. So,
and, you know, you should put him on your new desk at the...
exactly.
Yeah, wherever you happen to end up. So there's an interesting article. I got to put my glasses on. This is pathetic. Otherwise, you'll have to hold the newspaper up for me.
Well, let me take this opportunity. You know, you can check in online at WAMC.org/VoxPop or today. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post. That's Facebook.com/WAMC Radio or tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. And I'm checking those as we speak. So,
well, great piece here. Several articles on Elliot Spitzer's now attempt at a renaissance. And there's some quotes here from David Paterson, who obviously a good friend before, during, and after the time they worked together.
Right.
And so he has already endorsed Stringer. But he said, now I don't know what to do, because I told Elliot anytime he needed my support, I'd give it to him.
Mm.
But interesting quote from Mr. Paterson, who's had his own issues. He says, I just hope that these high-profile reentries do not lay the foundation for people thinking that they can do anything and come back and run for office. It should be a place for public service, not public rehabilitation. And that is from the New York Post. But I thought that was a great quote from David Paterson.
And Paterson, after he was appointed, and there was some question, too, when Spitzer left, whether or not he, you know, if he took over, what was going to happen then, if something happened to him. And he came out, and him and his wife appeared on television, I think, that week and talked about the fact that they both had, you know, they've had marital issues, including infidelities, and just that. Basically told people to get over it, I think.
Yeah, and that preemptive strike sometimes can work. Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Jonathan in Albany, you're up.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Thanks for public radio.
You bet.
I wanted to talk a little bit about sort of Elliot Spitzer's viciousness, certainly while he's attorney general and had bled over his term as governor, not always to productive results, and wanted to get a sense from the commentators, you guys, I haven't really seen him on TV. Do you get a sense that he's not nearly as quick to sort of bite at his opponents as he was, or is this the same Elliot as ever?
I don't know. I mean, we've only met him briefly.
Once.
And he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, we're not in that situation. It's funny, I talked to Jimmy Vielkind of the Times Union this morning on the roundtable, and I asked him almost the same question. I said, the machine politics in New York, are they for this or are they against this? And Jimmy's comment, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, was that, hey, this guy, you know, he alienated people on both sides of the aisle when he was in office, both as attorney general and as governor. And he doesn't have a heck of a lot of friends in the in the machine down in New York City. So Jimmy's feeling, and again, it's only an opinion, is that he's going this alone because he's burned a lot of bridges.
Right.
Okay, great. I appreciate your time.
You
Take
bet.
Care.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, Jonathan. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. Seems like a nice guy, though.
Yeah, he seemed, when I met him, he seemed very nice over at the Linda. We got one more Facebook user checking in. That's facebook.com/WAMC radio. Julie says, in my opinion, when it comes to high-profile politicians slash celebrities, quote, everyone makes mistakes, deserves a second chance, end quote. But for the rest of us, one mistake and you're screwed for life. Why should we give high-profile people a second chance when the rest of us don't get one? So it's, you know.
Well, the flip side would be, and I'm only playing devil's advocate here, is that some people are special. Some people have more to give and are uniquely qualified to do something that helps us all.
Sure.
So that would be that side. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that would be the answer.
And I think that, as one of the previous callers had said, we mentioned, I think it all depends on the transgression, too. You know, these sometimes innocuous Anthony Weiner tweeting himself. I mean, that's stupid of him and
yes,
silly.
Yes, it was.
But he didn't hurt anybody other than himself and his wife.
And his wife, obviously,
sure.
And his reputation.
Yeah.
But, the late-night comedians had,
Oh, yes.
Quite grateful.
And the POST.
Right you are. Irene and Oneonta, you're on.
Oh, hi. My name's Irene. And basically, I just wanted to reiterate what's been said. You know, the separation of a politician's personal life from his job. If we had had the media coverage we have in 2013 back in the 40s, we wouldn't have such programs as the ones that FDR, philanderer, right, adulterer, JFK, need I say more? Right?
Yeah.
And even, the contemporary ones that you mentioned, Clinton, and, a lot on the Republican side. And it crosses the bounds. It's not just a Republican or Democratic problem.
Right.
Their marriage or their personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
And, we might hold up people like the second President Bush as some kind of moral leader because he remained married and faithful. But remember, he got us into a war that is volatile. And that's what the media, that I fault the media, and NPR, I believe, runs very good programs that covers serious issues, and will refocus the American public on what counts, which is our soldiers dying over in a war that a so-called, quote-unquote, Christian
sure.
president, like Reagan or Bush or...
or LBJ.
Right. And Irene, just to kind of speaking to Ray's point, too, you talk about FDR and JFK and the kind of the media process then, but I get the feeling, and with JFK especially, that a lot of people knew what was going on when it was happening, but the fact that he was such a figure and such a, not just a political operator, but it seemed like he was doing a decent job to people when he was in there, that they let some of that stuff go.
Yeah. Irene, thanks a lot for the call. There's a certain analogy to baseball players. In the old days, in the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, you didn't find out if Babe Ruth was out and having 50 hot dogs and then getting a hooker.
Right.
That was not in the paper.
No.
So Babe's myth stayed true. And so I think it does come down to the press at some point. And
what's reportable and what, and I guess to the web too, now that everything's, you have Twitter, and now you can follow around your favorite celebrity and
right.
tweet the photos of them doing all the silly things they do.
All right, you are. Let's go to Tracy in Gilderland. Tracy, you're on.
Hello, Ray.
Hello.
So my thoughts about this, and you made the point before, with Sanford and Mr. Weiner, I think that they did just lose their minds, and... they certainly were not acting in a way that, would further their political careers. But I guess the difference I make is that with Mr. Spitzer, he actually committed the same crime that he had prosecuted other people for. And I guess that is the part of it that I have a very difficult time with. I mean, he broke the law. He did not go to prison, and I have to guess that he probably prosecuted other people that were in that same situation that maybe, you know, did not get the same treatment he did. He, you know, he had to leave his office, and I understand that that is a major change in his life. But other than that, I mean, he's not, you know, he doesn't have to check the box for every job application now that he's a felon or, you know, any other thing. So he, I think, got special treatment, even though he was in the same situation where many people, you know, under his very aggressive prosecutions, you know, did not kind of get a pass on.
I think it would have only been, had been more shocking if he was caught doing some kind of insider trading or something.
With Wall Street, But that's a great point. You know, Rex Smith brought this up with Alan on the Media Project many moons ago. And Alan had said, well, why do you put some of this salacious stuff from about politicians so high up on the front page? And Rex, in essence, said, because hypocrisy is a big deal. If you're if you're fighting something and then you get caught doing it, that's a big deal.
Right.
Right. And I mean, I think that everybody would agree that Elliot Spitzer, you know, he's well educated. I mean, as much as I hated to actually see him coming back on the talk shows, and I was not really ready to see him, you know, come back into the arena, because I felt that it was appropriate for him to be gone forever. You know, I do understand that he, you know, is quite a good politician, but I just keep thinking to myself, well, you know, with all the Ivy League schools in this country, wouldn't it be nice if there was somebody else who was, you know, really bright, who also had, you know, a better moral compass? You know, it's this old thing of somebody, you know, is he sorry that he got caught, or is he sorry for the behavior? And I always think that it says somebody. But the other quick point I would really like to make, and I think it has not been brought up today, is, you know, nobody powerful moves sort of independently of their handlers, and nobody goes down without the potential of taking other people down with them. And I'm friends with a number of state troopers, you know, retired and present in this state. And I think that it's really a difficult thing when you hire great people of a certain, you know, moral caliber. And I don't know any of the troopers that were on his detail, so I mean, I have to say that. But I just have to guess that it is really a difficult situation when you are somebody in a position where you, your job and your livelihood are possibly influenced by, you know, some political figure in the state that you work for. You know, we treat whistleblowers quite harshly in this country, I believe, still. But on the other hand, I understand that, you know, somebody would not want to say that they knew that this scandal was brewing because they were, you know, 5 years away from their pension and hoping to survive the, you know, the damage. And I just think that's a terrible situation, I mean, to put other good people in. So, you know, he made his decisions, but he did not make them, you know, independently. He was not concerned about what it would do to his team.
Right. And Tracy, I think that it's also, that's the reason that it's so shocking when an executive office like a governor or a president does something like this.
Yeah.
I mean, half of the anger that comes out is just the idea that, you know, this is somebody who everybody's supposed to look up to. This is somebody who's supposed to be leading a state or a nation that all of a sudden has made this huge lapse in personal judgment. And, you know, it's some people get over it and some people don't.
That's a great call. Thank you very much. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Naomi in Williamstown, I hope I have that right. You're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I just wanted to say, I feel like there's an inherent conflict in the way that the media is treating this issue, which is that it should be, is Spitzer going to do a good job in office, not what has he done in the past, and should politicians cheat on their wives? And that's one reason why politicians aren't, the right people aren't running for office, because the way the media treats it today, it's becoming a personality contest of who can get elected, and it doesn't focus necessarily on who would actually do a good job. where the facts about what his policies were, what his policies would be. Frankly, what he does in his personal life shouldn't be that much of an issue unless that comes into play with what he does in his office.
Right, which it did, you know, when he was governor, right?
Sure, but I think way too much attention is being put on it.
Okay.
I feel like, you know, we're very early on in this process, but that certainly it's up to both the media and the consumers of media and all of us to kind of weed our way through, especially in presidential campaigns where you get every little thing about the fact that, you know, Bill Clinton took a choke, but he didn't inhale.
Right.
And Obama, you know, whatever, met with his buddies and when he was 16 and smoked weed. And, you know, we got to decide whether or not that makes a difference to us or
true. Or
the foreign policy angle or whatever else.
Very true. Very true. Well,
so,
Naomi, thanks a lot for the call. It's a good one. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. One thing's for sure, and we'll take a break here in a moment, Zach. One thing is for sure, Patrick, you know,
yeah.
Elliot Spitzer knew what was going to happen, and that's people like you and me would be doing radio shows all over the place.
Yeah.
He knew he was opening that can of worms. He wants in. I mean, you really have to want it to have to go through all that again.
Definitely.
1-800-348-2551 is our number. Back with the phone calls coming up on Vox Pop.
Support for WAMC comes from Ashokan Center, Olive Bridge, New York, a classroom in the wild helping schools, organizations, and individuals reconnect with nature, history, and the arts, ashokancenter.org. The Honest Weight Food Co-op, open at their new location, 100 Watervliet Avenue, Albany, offering local and organic produce, groceries, and more, honestweight.coop. Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York, custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors, empireexhibits.com. Albany Institute of History and Art, presenting The Making of the Hudson River School, More Than the Eye Beholds, now through August 18th, albanyinstitute.org. And Dr. Joseph Cohen, optometrist, eye examination, classic eyewear, contact lens fitting in historic Uptown Kingston, participating with MVP, Empire, Davis, VSP, Medicare, and other insurances, cohenoptometry.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Alan Chartok usually in the chair at this time. And on this day, Ray Graff in for Alan, and I'm joined by our own Patrick Donjas here in his final week or so here at WAMC. And we were just talking during the break about what Ari Shapiro said.
Yeah, well, yesterday on All Things Considered, Ari Shapiro had a piece, and Naomi's call just reminded me of some of what he was saying, was that Spitzer, you know, it seemed like he was thinking about maybe setting himself up to re-enter public life. He took some time off, and he told people after he resigned that he had to get his life in order, essentially, and he kind of fell off the map. And in a real practical sense, he kind of got back into the game and started doing commentary for us and for other outlets, of course, Current TV and CNN, and that it actually, you know, by the time you Googled Elliot Spitzer, let's say a year after he was out of office but had been doing these other types of things, this other work, those top hits were not going to be disgraced Elliot Spitzer.
Yeah.
They were going to be Current TV, or they were going to be this, they were going to be that. So, and he ended his piece yesterday by saying, now when you, today or yesterday, when you Googled Elliot Spitzer, the top hits did say disgrace, but they also included words like renaissance and rebirth. And
very interesting. So you think he waited until he was on page 3 of the Google search before he said, well, now it's time to run for controller?
I don't know. Hard to say.
Interesting. Well, let's see. Let's go to Laurel in Catskill. Laurel, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Ray. Hi, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi.
I was listening to David Barsamian's program that immediately preceded yours, and the speaker was talking about the prison system in the United States and how many people are incarcerated and how many people have been incarcerated for extremely long-term sentences for relatively minor infractions. Mm. And as we're talking about forgive and forget, I'm finding that we're not entirely consistent with how we do this and who we allow forgiveness to in our American culture. Our history is rich with stories of people who only found their footing later in their lives. And we don't know, though we may say that some people have more to give than others, we won't know what is being lost behind the prison walls for people who people who could have contributed who went into prison when they were 20 and aren't coming out till they're 89.
Right.
We won't know what we're missing.
Well, that's a good
and
point.
Perhaps all they did was get stopped, get frisked, and have a joint in their pocket.
Yeah, well, you know, I hear you, and you make a great point. It's a little off point at this on this conversation,
but
you're right.
Let me, Laurel.
Oh, I've been on hold a long time.
Laurel, let me ask you this then. That said, and I agree that there is a disconnect with, you know, who the public will forgive and kind of let rise again in their personal lives. But with politicians, I mean, let's say you've got a politician who's had some heinous sexual scandal, but then they come in and they want to do the types of reforms to the prison system that you're talking about. You know, do you give them a second chance?
I give them a second chance with the understanding that I would give anyone a second chance.
Okay.
The problem is not, in my mind, the giving of politicians or celebrities or whoever a second chance. The problem is the limitation of the second chances to only certain people.
I think that you bring up an excellent, excellent topic for a future program, because I think there are some that a second chance, you know, there are habitual sex offenders. You don't want them on the street.
Yeah.
Or do you?
That would be for the next program, wouldn't it?
All right. Oh, you're clever, Laurel. All right, thanks a lot. We appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call.
Have a good one. She dodged that like a champ. Let's go to Dominic in Scotia. Dominic, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Love your show.
Thanks, man.
My comment is, and a lot of the previous callers were getting some of my thunder, is, you know, when you look at some politician, is it always a sex scandal? We are a sex almost obsessed society. I mean, you know, we can show tremendous amounts of violence in our film and theater, but if you show, you know, a naked breast, people are suddenly extremely scandalized. And the media, as you said earlier, seems to focus a great deal on this. And with Newt Gingrich, people seemed, at least people who were Republicans, seemed for the most part to have forgiven him for whatever alleged things he did to his wives or ex-wives or dying wives. What with Oliver North? Now, that was a very strange situation to me. I was leaving for Europe that summer, and just before I left, the papers were screaming, you know, the embattled Marine. And as he was about to testify on television for having traded arms, weapons weapons for money with, you know, a state that we're declaring is terrorist, Iran. And there was that whole thing with we were bombing the harbors of Nicaragua and funding the Contras against the legally elected but communist government of Nicaragua, Manuel Noriega. It looked like the guy was going down. And then I was away from the United States, and I wasn't hearing any news for a couple of weeks. And I was in Europe, and then I stopped in Israel, and I picked up a paper, and he was a hero. You know, here was a hero. And I was flabbergasted at how did this person flip-flop. And then when I started reading about it, it's like, yeah, he was very smart. He didn't lie. In fact, he bragged that he lied. He said, I lied. I'd lied again. I'm patriotic. And this is what I did for my country. And he got off scot-free. He went on to have TV shows, I think on CNN and Fox, has published books, and he's a millionaire.
I think, Dominic, a great deal of that has to do with the mindset of the public and the idea that, you know, the sexual transgressions are so personal to, you know, when you transpose it onto your own relationships, whereas even now with this NSA business and Edward Snowden, people seem to be, you know, a lot of people seem to be saying, oh, well, you know, I don't mind so much that my phone calls are getting listened into. But certainly it seemed like Obama, when he came into office, was saying that he would be as transparent as possible. And it seems like he, you know, there might be some question there.
Dominic, thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. We're in the home stretch now, but still time for you. Dan in Woodstock is on. Hi, Dan.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. The comment that I would like to make, I think that something very important is being missed here. Politicians and leaders of our country are supposed to be held to a higher standard. What kind of example are we setting if we give these people, we give them trust when we vote for them? If they betray that trust, what kind of example are they setting for future politicians and our children that are looking up to these people that maybe want to go into politics?
But that's
what
that's
kind of
the
example are we setting?
This is the beauty of what's happening, because someone like you, and there are many like you in New York City right now, don't have to pull the lever or put the paper ballot in the machine for Elliott Spitzer. So that's where your thought speaks the loudest.
Yeah, and also, one other thing is I keep hearing people say his personal life. He is a public servant. He is doing the job of this state, and if he betrays that trust, you know, he's a public servant. It's no longer. He's going to be held to a higher standard. His public life, you know, and his private life are going to be under a microscope. And that's the way he held other people when he was doing his job. He looked at other people under that same microscope and prosecuted those people. Now he wants the state to give him another chance. Is he going to go back and give those people that he prosecuted, is he giving them another chance? Because that would be disgraceful.
Well, I mean, he's asking the people for another chance, and we'll only see what happens. I mean, that's, I think he has the right to give it a shot. He was not convicted of a crime, so he goes on, and now it comes down to whether there are enough people who think he should get another shot, and whether Wiener stays, you know, first or second in the polls going into the election, we shall see. Let's go to Lee in Ulster. Lee. Hello, Lee.
I want to make a left turn here a little bit on this conversation.
Okay, that's fun.
I've been listening to the whole show. Everybody's individual perceptions of behavior and what and how bad that behavior is, you know, relative to the job that they're going to be given and so on and so forth. I say to you guys, doesn't a lot of this have to do with the way the media handles these sex scandals now as opposed to the way they did in Kennedy's time or Eisenhower's time or Roosevelt's time? Those people's personal lives were their personal lives in those days. No one cared because the media did not make an issue of those issues. Now it is so titillating that if we get wind of something like this, it becomes enormous and becomes the driver, you know, of our opinions about these people.
I think there are qualifications to what you say, but...
Yes, by all means, qualify.
Go ahead. Finish up,
you know, I mean, my personally, and I know that this is from my perception, personally, if you're honest intellectually, if you can do the job that you're assigned to do, if you're not coming in with a political position that speaks specifically to one philosophy as opposed to another, leaves lots of people, I don't care what you do in your private life.
Right, but...
I don't care. Consenting adults can do whatever they want.
Okay.
It's the point of living in a free society.
Lee, I'm with you on that, okay? And I do think the press and the endless titillation of the 24-hour news cycle and
right.
5 million TV channels and the right. imperative to fill that is important.
And a right now that's got its own, can set a town on fire and run around and get coverage for these things, whereas before there really wasn't. I mean, media editors at some point in the past said, you know, it's really not reasonable to get, you know, to make a scene about this.
But I would say to you that even in JFK's time, if JFK was going to prostitutes, then that's news if somebody finds out. In other words, when the governor of New York is engaged in illegal activity, then that crosses a line from pure titillation, which you could take or leave depending on what your personal views are, to then a point of, oh, wait, there's something here really amiss, don't you think, Lee?
Do you think that people did know? I mean, the caller who spoke to the fact that all of the support staff on these for these people always know, so on and so forth. I mean, isn't there a case to be made to some degree that it was known, it was just not considered polite? In some ways, to make a case about these things.
Well, Lee, I think that a lot of this also has to do with just the way that obviously the media has evolved, as Ray had said, and also the way that politicians, I think there's more of an expectation now of transparency, and that during FDR's time, but during JFK's time as well, you know, not that many people got that close to the president on an everyday basis. And I think that goes the same today with the president, but certainly I think with other politicians, there's a certain level of transparency that's expected, and that, you know, it wasn't the media that took, let's say, Anthony Weiner down. The nature of communication took him down.
That was all him. Bozo behavior category.
Right.
Hey, Lee, your connection is a little spotty today, but as always, you make a great contribution. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. It's Vox Pop. That's what it is. Carla in Williamstown, you're on.
Who? Carla?
That's you.
Oh, really? This is exciting. Okay. This is a very good question, I think. I am with the people who are, I agree with a lot that's been said about the media, but I believe that if you're a politician and you've had your grievous mistakes exposed in public, that is terribly shameful. And a person, something theoretically happens to them, and they would need to look at their lives and take and you know, just to reappear again the next morning would take a tremendous amount of courage.
I agree.
For many people, some people are just, you know, jerks, and they will always sort of be cowards and hide. So I think there's the potential there for people to learn from their mistakes and possibly become better. And better as people, and then as politicians. And someone like Eliot Spitzer, for example, who did so much to sort of combat the excess of financial services in New York State, I valued that, even though I don't live in New York State. I think if he, and we'll see whether he has learned, because he certainly is going to be under the microscope. But I would value his return and hope that he has learned something. And, you know, time will tell whether people get elected and what they do if they are elected.
Carla, I think that, I mean, just the way people react to being put in that situation where they're kind of called out on the mat in that very public, extremely public way, says a lot about them. And you have to decide whether or not, you know,
that's enough.
That's enough.
Right.
So,
Carla, thanks a lot. 1-800-348-2551. Brian and Skodak. Brian, you're on.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good. Good.
I just wanted to make the point that when you're talking about electing someone to an office again, when previously public trust in them had collapsed so catastrophically that they couldn't finish their term. I mean, President Bush carried on for how many years with an approval rating of 30%? He never resigned. People like Spitzer or Anthony Weiner, they had to leave office. Trust in them had collapsed completely. And talking about bringing someone like that again back into an office of public trust, it's a little bit like the saying about the woman a man leaves his wife for. She, least of all, has the right to be surprised when he does it again.
True, but again, it comes down to the voters. I mean, you don't have to,
I wouldn't deny them the chance to make that choice. It's just something they should, a choice they should make with their eyes open.
Yeah.
Right, and I'm sure that'll be a big part of the conversation in New York, and it has been at least for Anthony Weiner, definitely.
And we'll see where that goes. Brian, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Joe in Pittsfield. Joe, you're on.
Hi. I just wanted to make a comment on the show. I love the show, actually.
Thanks, Joe.
I'm a little chagrined that the guy would have the intestinal fortitude to even attempt to get back into politics.
it's
frightening.
Yeah.
You know, we have laws in place in this country, and I think everybody should be accountable for their actions. And if you've got political pull, that's great. But you know, I don't think forgive and forget is what should happen here.
So
especially when you're in the public light, like some of these people that have, you know, had these transgressions, you're there to set an example. You know, I mean, you know.
Joe, it sounds like what you're saying and what we're hearing from a lot of people, and there's a bunch of comments on our Facebook page right now too, that basically say that, you know, forgiveness is one thing, and to be able to say, all right, you messed up, you can't, you know, you came out and you, now we forgive you, but the forgetting thing is what gets people.
Indeed,
and we'll see if how that goes.
Joe, thanks a lot. We're out of time here. Do you want to read one or two from Facebook, or are you all set?
I think we're good.
Really?
They're
you
not.
Can't read them, eh?
Well, these. Let's just say the folks on our Facebook page will probably not be voting for Mr. Spitzer.
All right then. Well, thanks to everybody who called in. It certainly is an interesting campaign season shaping up down in New York City. Anthony Weiner doing fairly well at this point. Well, there was an interesting article that the second person to come in asking forgiveness may end up hurting the first one, which was Anthony Weiner, who was doing well. So maybe two is too much.
Right.
So we shall see.
Two in one cycle?
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks to everybody who called in. Lots of fun today. Thanks to Patrick Donjes. Support comes from Bow Wow Bathhouse Resort and Daycare, South Deerfield, Massachusetts, for over 7 years, providing 10 hours of daily indoor-outdoor play, professional grooming, and retail shop, thebowwowbathhouse.com. Bethel Wood Center for the Arts presenting Natalie Merchant in concert with the Hudson Valley Philharmonic. Randall Craig Fleischer conducting Saturday, July 20th at 8 p.m. BethelWoodsCenter.org. Berkshire Co-op Market, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, a community-owned natural grocery store dedicated to sustainable agriculture, the local economy, and the environment, berkshire.coop. And Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, featuring their exhibits Rare Earth, Garden Pots as Sculpture, and Down to Earth, Architects Redesign the Potting Shed. Group tours available, berkshirebotanical.org. Thanks to everybody once again. Sorry if you didn't make it through. Zachary Malloy, a splendidly darn near flawless job at the controls. And I'm not surprised. I mean, that's happened once or twice before. Thanks to Bruce Herbach for answering the phones. Thanks to Patrick Donges for being here. I'm Ray Graff, and we'll be back tomorrow with, what are we doing tomorrow?
The Copyright Forum.
The Copyright Forum. Stay tuned for a news update.